You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello and welcome, beautiful souls, sacred souls. Welcome to Wisdom of the Ancients. I'm your host, Ian Shelley. Thank you so much, everyone, for bringing your amazing energy, your high vibrations to this collective space, to this wisdom orb that we've all created together. Thank you so much for being here in the collective consciousness. And the Wisdom of the Ancients is about ancient wisdom. It's about what was once known, ancient practices and knowledge, not only from our own planet, but from all realms, all dimensions, and all beings converging right now to this time-space reality. So let's all open our hearts and our ears, and let's all hear what the ancient ones have to say to us. And let's bring in the ancient ones. Let's bring in the divine, beloved beings of love, light, power, and service to support us today and open our hearts. And the theme for this season is the sacred human, answering the call, stepping up to be the divine essence, the aspect of the divine that all of us truly are. And we have a wonderful show for you today. So let me, without further ado, announce our next guest, legendary master of voice, voice alchemist and angelic emissary, Stuart Pearce, was the head of voice at the Webber Douglas Academy, London, from 1980 to 1997. He helped pioneer Shakespeare's Globe Theatre between 1997 and 2010, and has coached luminaries such as Oscar winner Eddie Redmayne, Matthew Good, Hugh Bonneville, Oscar winner Mark Rylance, Margaret Thatcher, Princess Diana of Wales, and the London 2012 Olympic bid, to name just a few. Being an angelic emissary for over 30 years, Stuart has published Angels and the Keys to Paradise, The Angels of Atlantis, Book and Oracle, The Angelic Heart Signs, Oracle, Heart's Note, and The Alchemy of Voice, alongside several award-winning recordings such as Angels of Atlantis, Soul Calls. Stuart's next publication in January 2020 will be Diana, the Voice of Change. Welcome, Stuart. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello. And as God, I always slightly blush when I hear a list of all those parts of me, but it's about another person. It's not about this person sitting here. It's just that thing out there. And I was feeling into the amazing vibration of the collective. I can feel all of these wonderful people sitting in the ether listening in. So my heart goes out to everybody and say thank you, thank you. And Ian, thank you for having me on your wonderful Wisdom of the Ancients, ancient wisdom. Wow, exciting. So thank you.
Absolutely. So glad to have you on the show. Well, everyone, today Stuart is going to be talking about the Angels of Atlantis, 12 mighty forces to transform your life forever. So the angels, we've been told, promise that you will feel a delicious sense of enhanced embodiment full of love and joy on this call. Stuart's also going to be doing soul reading. So everyone, if you'd like to have the opportunity for a soul reading, star 2 to raise your hand, or be sure to put your question in the question box if you're on the webinar. And then towards the end of the call, Stuart is going to be offering us a sonic meditation for the group. So, Stuart, I'd love to get started by having you share a little bit. There certainly will be people who know you very well and maybe are following you wherever you might be. But there might be people who really haven't heard you speak in depth before. So it'd be wonderful if you would share with us a little bit about your journey, especially how you came to meet the Angels of Atlantis.
Yeah, interesting story. Well, I think it's interesting. I've told it many times over the years. So as a being, I cannot remember when I have not been in association with the multidimensional universe, which means that as a child, I saw spirit, I saw angels, I saw force. All of that was a little bit challenging, I discovered very quickly, because it seemed that whomever I spoke to in the world didn't see what I was seeing, and I was seen to be unusual and strange. So to leap forward, I self-muted for 2 or 3 years as a child, and then partly switched off the ability to see. As I journeyed through adolescence and then into my early 20s as an actor, I worked through the 70s for about 10 years as an actor, unusual experiences happened where I began to reconnect as many actors do, they have out-of-body states where suddenly I saw spirit. And but it was really in the late 70s when I nursed my mother she died of cancer for a year, that I really switched back on. And so by 1980, not only had my career changed, but I was starting to facilitate in a more adult perspective, through the adult lens, much of the abilities that I had as a child of seeing angels, of seeing spirit, of being able to read people, of read energy, and working with the land. And so I decided that I would take that formally. So I attended, you know, meditation groups. I was called miraculously to work with Sai Baba in India, who was a very powerful avatar. And then in 1987, a friend of mine had opened a crystal store in a very beautiful town in the West Country of the United Kingdom called Glastonbury, which a lot of people I'm sure have heard of as being, maybe even visited, as being the heart chakra of the world. And he wanted me to go down and be in his crystal store reading for people, because apparently I developed this ability of being able to give very fast reads. Mm. And then it was very much, you know, we're going back into 1987, it was very much to do with very superficial reads. I feel that many of us who have been working as clairvoyants or clairsentients or as mediums have developed our work over the years to accommodate the states of consciousness, the developments that have happened, as you were saying earlier, about not just simply the ancient wisdom of this planet, but also the ancient wisdom of the galaxy. However, so I was invited to do this, and I did, and I was absolutely exhausted by the festival that was taking place, meaning that many, many people were coming into this small town called Glastonbury for the event that is now known as the Harmonic Convergence. And the Harmonic Convergence essentially was an alignment, a unique planetary alignment of planets creating a grand trine, which it was said by the Mayan civilization that 144,000 rainbow light warriors would be awoken as light workers to prepare the world for all the great changes that took place from 87 all the way through to December the 21st, 2012, which we know as the precession of the equinoxes, when for the first time in, 26 and a half thousand years, all of the planets line up in a direct line. Mm-hmm. And so during my lunch break, I was, as I was saying earlier, I was really fatigued by the enormity of the energy that seemed to be bombarding into Glastonbury, the small market town in Somersetshire. So I went and sat on the high hill, which is known as the Tor. Tor in Celtic means high sacred hill. So I went and sat on the Tor, which is considered to be the epicenter, the heart chakra of the world. And whilst I sat meditating, because, you know, I'd attended circles and everybody was saying, you have to meditate, and therefore resurge into or reconnect with the energies of the source to be replenished, to be healed, to be moved back to wholeness. So this I was doing. And after about 15 minutes of meditation, I heard these really extraordinary sounds, these immensely high harmonics. And I was so surprised that I opened my eyes, and floating in front of me, as it were these huge orbs of light. Now, orbs were not necessarily unusual to me, but these were giant orbs, and they were multicolored. You know, there was red, there was blue, there was yellow, etc., etc., etc. And I heard, "We are the angels of Atlantis, and we're going to give you a temple of sound healing that you will call the Alchemy of Voice." And then a beam of light shone through me, or literally passed through my heart. And I experienced something which I can only describe as being an out-of-body state of altered consciousness, where I was taken into the fifth dimension, and the journey began. I came back into my body and was told, by the angels, we are going to be working with you over the next 10 years to prepare you as a radiant presence to carry this energy. So to cut a long story short, that's how it happened. But it's, you know, for me, it's always been this very creative, organic journey of stumbling into things, and then, you know, when the student is ready, the masters come, of being called to work with a Native American shaman in New Mexico, of, as I was saying earlier, you know, taken to work with Sai Baba and with one other Indian guru. And then, of course, my earthborn career, my 3D career, really taking off by meeting very remarkable people, as it were, synchronistically, as it were, you know, surreptitiously. There I was being taken by a force of nature into meeting Margaret Thatcher in 1980, and then eventually other very remarkable people like Anita Roddick and Madeleine Albright, and helping them with their voices, helping them with the presence that they were bringing forth in the world as noble beings, you know, creating high-minded, magnanimous thoughts to change the world. And finding it difficult sometimes to stand in front of groups of people to speak. And so that's what I still do. I step in and help people be very relaxed and at one with themselves, sharing through their note, because I believe that we each have a signature note, which is at the very core of our beings, and that is the song of our soul. Mm. So that brings us to the present day.
Right, right.
Where, the, you know, for the last 30-odd years, I've been working with the angels and listening to their acute message and bringing the message into the world in all its varying fashions, all its varying ways, and all of the possibilities. And this is just the beginning. I mean, I feel I've only just started, so I'm sure that when my fifth book comes out at the beginning of next year, Diana, the Voice of Change, that it's going to stir a tremendous amount of action, particularly in relation to, A, the arousal of the divine feminine complex, and also how wonderful, wonderful women are stepping forward, wanting to be empowered, wanting to be awakened, wanting to come together in communion, wanting to create a universal sorority. And I'm in service, I'm in absolute dedication to that, so that we can bring about feeling as the language of the soul, and therefore that we live out the impulse of the heart through love, through grace, through empathy, through compassion.
Mm. You mentioned earlier, thank you, Stuart, you mentioned earlier that the angels were sharing with you that you were to carry the energy. Could you just talk a little bit more about that, what energy the angels were referring to, and really the bigger picture of what they were sharing with you?
Well, it's interesting that they have called themselves the angels of Atlantis, but their esoteric name is the Malachim. And the Malachim means, in Judaism, in Kabbalah, it means the royal angels. And these beings of light have been identified in prior civilization, going way back into time immemorial. The Egyptians were also, the ancient Egyptians, I've spent the last 50 years journeying through Egypt, and I run retreats there twice a year. Even with the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians, they refer to these beings of light that were orb-like presences that took on archetypal qualities to assist as cosmic guardians human beings in what the ancient Egyptians called the Osirification process, which we call the Kundalini arousal. So they go all the way back into time immemorial, and the depiction that Kabbalah gives them is that they overlight the 12 Melchizedek. The Melchizedek are the priest kings, the priest queens. So royalty is associated with a high level of initiation where spirit or divinity becomes present within the vessel of the human. But these 12 beings of light that I've been taught and now refer to are the white brotherhood, the white sisterhood of intergalactic beings. So Mary is there, Magdalene is there, Jesus is there, Buddha is there, Saint Germain is there, Kusumi is there, Kuan Yin is there, Portia is there, etc., etc., etc. There are these 12 beings of light that are referred to as the white brotherhood, and therefore the intergalactic council that is aware of the unique importance of this particular planet, the blue planet. So we're all living a cosmic experiment.
Yeah.
And back to the angels. The angels come to remind us of the unique spiritual heritage of our peoples on this planet, which we're beginning to remember, and many of us who are listening in, and you know, here I am speaking about it, are aware this is a quality of remembering something that is deep within the treasure chests of our souls, that we've moved through feeling, being the language of the soul, into a communion of empathy, a communion of grace. And so they call themselves Atlantis simply because they're using the reference point of that civilization, which was one of the unique civilizations on our planet, whereby the people who were present were living a 12-helix DNA. We're living a double-helix DNA with the potential for 12 helix within us. But they were living a 12-helix DNA. And what the angels are wanting us to do is to see that this is a unique opportunity for all of us to move through this process that we're calling ascension into understanding how we can open up the DNA within our bodies and therefore live life through our potentials, through the greater vision of ourselves, but optimizing our creativity through love and joy. And so, for example, part of the offering that I prepared for this wonderful summit of yours is to provide the prologue to the book that I wrote called The Angels of Atlantis, which is essentially about the history of Atlantis and how the peoples were living this 12-helix DNA and what that meant and why what we're living is an echo of that, and how by utilizing very, very simple practices, largely through meditation and through coming together in communion, into chant and into enchantments or incantations through prayer, we can change the cells of our bodies so that we literally move into what we're beginning to call fifth dimensionality, where we're living beyond weight, space and time, and we experience a unity consciousness of such joy, of such love, of such delight, of such ease, of such grace, that life becomes an altogether different possibility from what we're seeing on the world stage at the moment. God bless it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And there is a lot of conflict in this world, and of course that often starts with the individual, right? So conflict that we have with ourselves, conflict we have with maybe our friends, partners, and beyond, and that extends out into the world at large. How would the angels of Atlantis help us with resolving some of that conflict, Stuart?
Well, did you say dissolving the conflict?
Resolving or dissolving.
Resolving or dissolving. Well, I mean, the most important thing is that we look out beyond ourselves and we see the macro as a complex, chaotic maze, and therefore we feel disempowered in the face of it. And what we're not realizing, to use the words of Gandhi, be the change you want to see. So instead of becoming bemused or aghast at the vastness of what's happening in front of us, that what we need to do is to really change the inner landscape of ourselves. And when we change the inner landscape of ourselves, the macro automatically changes. That's the extraordinary thing. And this is what, for example, someone like Marianne Williamson is giving us at the moment as she moves through the Democratic nomination towards possibly becoming the president, the 46th president of the United States of America. So this is highly individualistic. Although we're looking at unity consciousness, and there are precepts that are unifying forces, that, as I've already said, that empathy is crucial, that compassion is crucial, and that in the blame culture that we live in, we need to cease blaming and accusing and derive insight and resolution instead from the fact that the reason why it's happening is because we're willing it into creation. We're allowing it to happen. So rather than reacting, the most important thing is to try and find some unique way of responding, which doesn't mean to say that we lie down and allow darkness or dissolute behavior to stomp all over us. We need to say no, and sometimes we need to say it really boldly and baldly, but at the same time rather than being judgmental and reactive, we need to move into discernment. And having said no, we then come from a deeper, wiser space within us where we bring forth the radiation of love. So to bring all of that into one singular thought, I feel it's all to do with the behavior of our being. That feeling is the language of the soul. It's not about thinking. It's about feeling. You know, it reminds me, and you know, maybe the listeners have heard me say this before, but many years ago I had the joy and the immense honor of spending 3 hours with Maya Angelou, you know, this extraordinary African-American wise sage who alas died at the beginning of last year. And Maya was just this brilliant individual, full of wisdom. And she said to me, near the close of our meeting, she was very decorous and full of form and honoring. She called me Mr. Pierce, you know, which is, I felt like a child in front of her. And she said to me, you know, Mr. Pierce, when we leave, people don't remember what we said. They remember us by the way we made them feel. And I thought that that was just a beautiful, iridescent way of really, can we behave beautifully? Can we behave graciously? Can we behave lovingly? Can we behave joyously, even in the face of, as you were saying, the conflict? So it brings me back to my initial premise, be the change you want to see. So we have to get really honest with self. And it seems to me that as we look outside, at the moment a moral infantry is being taken of the world because the world is in chaos. So rather than judging it and accusing it, you know, saying it's in chaos is not an accusation, it's an observation. What are we going to do about it? So what I do is I clean up my own life. I clean up my own inner being, and as a result of that, being asked and being honored to help other people clean up their beings. Mm-hmm. And that could be, you know, a wonderfully ordinary person in living an ordinary life, God bless them, in whatever circumstances they may, for example, in the Midwest of America, or it could be that I'm working with really powerful thought keepers around the world. I've just been in Stockholm this weekend and working with some extraordinary people who are creating the Academy of Compassion that will become a major force within the vast changes that are taking place within Northern Europe to begin with, but then within Europe per se, to bring peoples together into the field of compassion and recognizing that whatever we see without is a mirror of what's going on within. So we were working through very practical, physiological devices or skills, techniques that can be used to bring ourselves back into our bodies so that we feel very grounded. And of course, as everybody knows, you know, one of the chief things that I do is to bring us back to what I was sharing just now, that we each have a note, and that when we're sounding that note, we come right into being grounded and full of weight and gravitas within our bodies. Mm. Whereas the vibration of the world is so here, you know. I mean, there's the currency of the third of three dimension. You know, we're educated. I mean, I'm going to stop doing it because it's so painful. But, you know, we're educated and conditioned to live through that vibration. Of course, mm-hmm. It's a vibration of cerebralization. It's not a vibration of being within the heart and producing emotional resonance, producing a metaphoric consciousness, which is to do with pure feeling.
Mm. Well, thank you. You spoke earlier about the signature note, everyone's signature note, and I want to get to that in just a second, Stuart. But can you share with us what angelic sound healing is? I know it's all related.
Yeah, you know, it's a very extraordinary energy, ancient energy, which we're just slowly beginning to retell, reconnect with, relive, and therefore recalibrate within our bodies. And, you know, there's an ancient story by Hafiz, who came way before Rumi, And the story goes that the divine one made a statue of clay in what we would say today in his or her image, which then, of course, was very patriarchal, so it would have been said in his image, and asked the soul to enter the statue of clay. But the soul refused because the soul was free and ubiquitous, you know, could be anywhere. Why would the soul want to be in a statue of clay? And so the soul refused, but the divine one asked the angels to sing a seraphic chorus. And the soul was so enchanted that the soul was seduced to live within the statue of clay. And so began Adam Cadman, and so began human being. And so the angels, we can deduce from that story, are immensely closely related to the way that we appreciate and perceive sound. So it's very rare that you go into a church or a tabernacle to see stained glass windows of angels as human beings with wings, that they don't have their mouths open and that they don't have trumpets in their mouths or harps. We talk about the Hallelujah Chorus. You know, there have been recently these unique sounds that have been heard around our planet where people have stood still, startled by a sound that sounded like a Hallelujah Chorus, sounded like the angels singing. And there are many manifestations of people seeing and hearing angels. So there is this unique connection between the fact that sound is at the core of creation. You know, Gabriel came to Mary and said, by the way, you're going to have a child, and the child will become the savior of the world. And he said the same thing to Elizabeth about John the Baptist. John the Baptist used his voice to literally profess that the Messiah would be coming. So there is in our peoples this unique embrace of sound, angels, and our humanity, which brings me back to, you see, the fact that we each, within us, we have this sound, which is unique to us. No other human being has this sound. So the angels are very closely related to that. So therefore, if we are tuning our note and harmonizing the whole of our organic fabric, which means that when we sound our note, every organ comes into coherence, into correspondence with that note. The angels step forward, not through free will, because they will only step forward if we ask them, but the angels will step forward to amplify the harmony, the consonance, the healing, the ascendant feeling or physiological states that we acquire into altered states of consciousness, into higher levels of consciousness. And they amplify that because that is of their vibration. They don't understand despair or guilt or judgment or shame or denial. They only understand, they only comprehend, because angels love for the sake of love. They don't love for the sake of being loved. So they will only amplify what the resonances of the source are, you know, that we're from the source and the source is an infinitely unfolding creative possibility full of love and joy. There is no despair in the source. There is despair on planet Earth because we're living the vibration of duality. And so we see, well, over there is innocence, but over there is guilt. Over there is hope and over there is despair. Over there is doubt and over there is faith. Well, they're living these high vibrations. Those who sound, because sound is at the core of creation. We know that through the denominations of energy on our planet, that light is an extraordinarily powerful energy, and that when light downloads, it becomes color, and then when color downloads, it becomes sound, and then sound starts creating matter, as we see in cymatics, or in the work of Masaru Emoto, we begin to see that through frozen crystals that have had sound inserted into them, either through a repetitive chant or through the playing of music, that they formulate these unique organic patterns. And so a number of years ago, the science of cymatics was created, which is really derived from the word cyma, which means wave. But light and color and sound meet together. The angels marry them and bring them into the cognizance of our peoples and indeed into the consciousness of the Gaia.
Mm.
So I would suggest, you see, that many of the problems that we're seeing in our world are there purely because of disharmony, the disharmony of sound that is created through the dissonance of people's thinking and feeling. You know, we speak of them thinking and feeling in the wrong doing, the wrong thinking, meaning that somebody's out of alignment with the essential integrity, that if I am cruel to you, it means that I'm being cruel to myself and I'm cruel to the whole of our species, and that when someone is cruel to us, we feel it very deeply. So why would I want to be cruel to anybody? Because if they're paining, I pain also. But there are many people in our world that are living in such disharmony and such dissonance that they are completely unaware of the cruelty that they're creating. Dare I say, you know, the development of the internment camps on the Mexican border by the Supreme Commander of the United States is a cruel action. And now we're seeing the cruelty that is taking place. This is arising out of an individual and a group of individuals that are severely in dissonance. They're not in consonance. They're not in harmony. They're arguing the defense of their position, which is to take over control of the world through something, for example, that we're calling white nationalism. I believe that the level of intelligence that is being evoked and invoked at this time means that many of us are waking up to the potential horror of this dissonance, this disharmony. And in the beauty and the simplicity of our own practice, that through prayer, through chant, and through helping our own communities, that we're bringing about beautiful harmonic energies by being true, by being faithful, by being diligent, by being devoted, that are creating a huge tidal wave of love that will not allow any more children in the situations that I was describing to be cruelly hurt. You know, when the innocents of a society are malignantly maligned and injured, we all need to wake up that there's something serious going on.
Definitely a reflection. Yeah, definitely. Stuart, you spoke again about the signature notes. So I know the community's asking if we all have an individual signature note, how do we find it? And then also, how do we generate that note? So how do we bring that into the physical, into being?
Mm. Well, if you think about the range of sound that we each have, from a high note to a low note, to be really simplistic, if you imagine that range of sound is sitting in front of you on a horizontal plane, we know that we can go from a high note to a low note. So there's the expanse of our range. But then if you go to the middle of that range, you realize that there's a meeting point. As with all things, there's a meeting point. You know, even the meeting point between the Atlantic Ocean and the Caribbean Ocean, I mean, that's a magnetic epicenter of vast proportion. And anybody that's been to the Caribbean and has felt it can feel how the energy shifts. So the same thing with us. Just as on a piano, and we don't have to be specialists in Western classical music to understand that, you know, we've all seen a piano with the white notes and the black notes, and we all know that in the middle is something called the middle C. Now, the middle C is actually the central point of the optimized pitch of that piano. Now, if we imagine the same thing within our ranges, but then automatically make the horizontal vertical and place it into our spines, where's the middle? Well, it's just around the upper solar plexus and heart. So if we're sounding through that area there, you know, as I've been using my voice very strongly all day, and it's sort of, you know, it's 8:30 in the evening here, but let me see if I can actually adequately provide a sound through this transmission, which gives an experience of a high sound, and then finding my note. Hello, my name is Stuart Pearce. So here's my note, right in the middle of my heart. And so by using that hum from a high, all I'm doing is imagining a white light in the center of my forehead or in the top of my head, starting off with that, that really, really high pitch, and then taking it down rather like an elevator all the way through my spine. And possibly you could hear it going through or feel it going through your own spine, through the forehead and the Ajna chakra, into the mouth area, into the throat area, into the upper chest or the higher heart, and then into that area there, right there. So if we imagine that we have a beam of light shining out of our hearts, or lips in your chest, which maybe for some people is a bit gross, you know, but a beam of light, and we're constantly focusing our energy through that area there, it means automatically that we're opening up the richness of, if words arise from the heart, they enter the heart. If words arise from the tongue alone, they don't pass beyond the ears. You know, if I go back up here, and, you know, if I close the back of my tongue, I move into that hybrid sound that we hear a lot, for example, in a place like New York City, where everybody's here, you know, I mean, they're sort of competing against the noise and the machines and the heaviness and the noise of the city, you know, and so everybody's as opposed to being in this part of the body. So, you know, for example, if we use the illustration of the great actor, the great actor finds a way of really understanding this, because the core of great acting is a truth of feeling statement. So where do we feel maximized truth in our beings? Well, we feel truth in our feeling center, in our gut, in our heart. So again, if words arise from the heart, then they enter the heart. So we begin to believe that somebody's meaning true. And that when we move here, this becomes a very cerebral resonance, so we may be able to exchange a lot of data from here, a lot of, you know, a lot of information that's data-packed, but is there feeling there? No, I mean, it sounds as though I'm being hysterical when I... So I won't do it. I'll come back down here. And, you know, if we say, my heart aches, and a drowsy numbness pains my sense, as though of hemlock I have drunk, which is the beginning of a poem by one of the Romantics, or come live with me and be my love, and we will all the pleasures prove. It's really different from saying, come be with me, come live with me and be my love, and we will all the pleasures prove. It doesn't quite have the same emotional resonance within it. Right. And so, you know, this is a different sound from that that we're used to hearing in the 21st and the 20th century. But you know, one of America's great poets at the end of the middle part of the 19th century wrote, what did he write? Just trying to find it here. What is it in me that makes me tremble so at voices? Well, surely whoever speaks to me in the right voice, him or her I shall follow as the water follows the moon silently with fluid steps anywhere around the globe. But this was a man who lived before the machines, before the machines took over. I mean, the Industrial Revolution was just beginning when he wrote. This is the great Walt Whitman. And so this is something that I'm just bringing back into our attention, that we already know this stuff. It's just that we've been educated and socialized and conditioned into just being up here, you see, and living here and exchanging. And of course, that's when we separate from the truth of what we truly are. But if we come back down here, then we begin to, as Rumi says, if you want the truth, I'll tell you the truth. Listen to the secret sound, the real sound, which is inside you. The sound that arises out of the heart. And you know, the interesting thing is that the heart chakra is called the anahata. And in Sanskrit, the anahata means the unstruck note. So here we are striking the note of our hearts, because the heart is the seat of the soul. Possibly for the first time in the conscious evolution of the human species, since before Babel, the Tower of Babel, when the ego took over and separated, it seems that we then were dismayed in sound. Anyway, so I must cease. I'm very impassioned about this, but you know, it gives a little bit of a frame about
Absolutely.
The nature of finding everybody's note.
Definitely. And what I think we all appreciate about that, Stuart, is that it really brings that level of practicality. So we can find our note by going through that practice that you've shared with us, and then really having the awareness to align with that note as we drop into our hearts. Very, very important. So thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah.
Yeah, now, I mean, that's what we're all saying. I mean, all of us are saying this at the time, aren't we? And you know, whether it's the wonderful listeners who are listening in, who may be beginning their spiritual initiation, or somebody like yourself, and all, you know, our fellow colleagues that are taking responsibility for teaching initiates, that we're all saying we need to come back into our hearts and do something that I refer to as being heart dowsing, where we douse with our hearts. In other words, every choice that we make is made physically by using, for example, the left hand. When we're, you know, for example, in the grocery store, in the supermarket, choosing which potato shall I buy, which tomato shall I buy, shall I buy this toilet paper or that toilet paper? If we choose from our hearts, the heart always knows. Whereas if we move into our heads, it all, you know, the head always says, shall I, shan't I, will I, won't I? So I believe that most of the confusion that we have, which is of course understandably and sympathetically, is to do with the fact that we have been adulterated by criticism or by unfair judgment, which makes us lurk within our heads and become very confused. But if we wish to be self-empowered, if we can bring ourselves back into our hearts, the heart always knows, because we wouldn't do anything that doesn't feel right for ourselves or for anybody, whether it be our nearest and our dearest, or for our colleagues, or for our friends, or the people that we know who live over there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when I say live over there, I don't just mean in the same state or the same community, but what about the children of Syria?
Right.
Because if they're paining, that means we're paining.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking about it earlier. I know, Ian, the children of the world, these beautiful crystal children, rainbow children, they're waking and they're stepping forward and teaching us, the grown-ups, about what they're feeling. It's just extraordinary. I'm working with a young man at the moment who's only 14, who woke up one morning, who lives in Seattle. He woke up one morning and he said to his mother, I have to save the Amazon rainforest. And so he got his high school friends together, and 14 of them, being chaperoned, went down to Brasilia and were in the Amazon rainforest and met indigenous people and wept because they heard the story of the indigenous people. And it just so happens that one of those boys is Henry Bezos, the son of Jeff Bezos.
Hmm.
And so the kids are seducing Jeff Bezos, who we know created Amazon, to buy the Amazon rainforest. I mean, isn't that ironic that he created a company
right.
called Amazon, and here are these young people saying, they're calling the project the Amazon Legacy.
Oh, beautiful. It just gives you hope. It really gives you hope, doesn't it? So beautiful.
Doesn't it, Jeff? Yeah.
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 Well, Stuart, I would love to turn this conversation to the community now and have them give them the opportunity to get a soul reading from you. Would this be a good time for that?
Beautiful, yes, absolutely beautiful. Thank you.
Let's do that. All right, everyone, so we're going to go to the phones first. So *2 to raise your hand. I know there's so many of you with your hands raised already, so we will rely on the universe to pick the people right now. So we'll do the phone for a while, then we'll do the webinar box, which will be the webinar box on the webinar page. Just put your question in there along with your name, and we'll get to as many as we can. So let's do that for now. So let's go to Greeley, Colorado on the phone. Greeley, Colorado, and 6922 are the last four digits of your phone number. You're on live with Stuart, 6922.
Hi, can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Yeah,
thank you,
hear you.
Thank you, Stuart. Mm-hmm. I just so appreciate this information today, and I feel blessed that I was picked. I know my voice is an instrument that I've been given, and I've been told several times during my life, or ask, what am I doing with my voice to help people? And I feel that I serve others in communicating with them because I can find something good and wonderful about every person I meet. And I connect with them at my heart center to their heart center. But lately, I have felt led to do more or called to do more. And all I know to do is to be me and be love and connect at the heart with each person I meet. But is there something in a soul reading that perhaps I am missing something more I could be doing? I feel blessed to do what I do. I'm a life coach and do energy work. But I just all of a sudden in the last month or two feel I need to be doing more. And I believe in vibration and frequency. So is it something with my voice or something else? I don't know. That's what I'm asking for.
It's intriguing, isn't it? Yeah, and you're so beautifully open. I mean, thank you so much for coming through. Because this, as you speak, I open myself up to the angels. And what I hear is, well done. How much they appreciate the extraordinary witness that you bring to your life of spirit, because you are an empath, that you're there empathically being with all the dear ones who come to you, and you resonate with such stillness. So there are spaces in the molecular unfolding of your creativity, you know, from the physical sense of feeling to what you create with them, the dear ones who come. You create such space for them to give permission to reveal to you, and then to themselves, often, as you well know, who they truly are, rather than what they become. And so there's just this huge point of celebration for you. The way that you, for example, dexterously choose your words, there's a space in the harmonic of the way that your voice reveals all of this richness that you are. So to your question, I would firmly recommend that to strengthen that aspect of your voice on a purely physical level, because our voices are purely physical means that we use to communicate the way that we think and the way we feel, and thence become these metaphysical realities that create with the space that we've been tuning into, the space of soul. But if you could work through chant, daily chant, sonic meditation, I mean, for example, without wanting to get into a sales pitch, but the recording that I made called Initiation, which you can very easily find on Spotify or iTunes. You know, if you want to, just email me and I'll give you a link stuart@theangelsofatlantis.com or stuart@stuartpierce.com. I'll give you a link. And it's my voice taking us all through this sonic meditation to develop the musculature, you see, to develop the power of the breath to sound. Now, that's going to expand the auric witness of your work, because if our physiologies expand, then if our voices expand, then our energy fields expand. And then what will happen, and I just opened the oracle, the first oracle of the Angels of Atlantis, and the card that comes through is Michael, because Michael loves you. Connection with? Do you have a connection with Michael?
Of course. Archangel Michael? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it
a very
Archangel
overt
Michael
connection? It's right. Interesting he comes through. And the card is the I Am Presence. It's the image in the card is a throne, so it's you and your sovereignty. And I feel that what Michael is suggesting is the doing aspect of you is just reminding you of how extraordinary you are, and how if you can move into the I Am Presence, it heals that subtle quality of force within to do with the, what is it, 7, 8, 9-year-old child on heart chakra level, where there is a subtle self-doubt, and how by healing that self-doubt, you're moving more into the complete nature of your ministry, your mission. The sovereign aspect of you will carry you forward, and that's when your field is going to expand. And that's when the new projects will come to you. Because is it not true that all the projects that you've created are brought about purely by the people that come and request something of you? And in those moments, your creative intelligence awakens, your soul intelligence awakens, and you respond to the conversation of the need in that person. And as a result of that, suddenly you have an epiphany with, oh, why don't I try doing this? And then it works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
yes.
Ideas will come
I say
to
I
you
have a
about group maintenance, you know, about group activities, workshops.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm seeing is that you will be drawing, in your life coach status, you'll be drawing groups of highly conscious spiritual initiates who are aware of the feminine, the arousal of the divine feminine, and you will be creating pilgrimages to sites that Mary, where Mary lived, or where Mary, you know, for example, Rennes Le Chateau, the Grotto of Mary, you'll be taking people there. You'll be taking people to Ephesus to feel the empathic compassion of what the Divine Mother is all about.
This is also beautiful. And up to the pilgrimages or journeys, all of what you said resonated with me, and this is new for me, the going to where the Marys were, and I will sit with that. But I just, oh my gosh, you just bring tears to my eyes. And I want to thank you from my heart for allowing me to hear the I Am Presence. And I just worked with someone this morning and told them how powerful the I Am statements were. And I do have a little bit of self-doubt, so I need to listen to what I tell other people and do that for myself.
Well, I mean,
we all do, don't we?
That's what's extraordinary. I catch myself. You know, I was in this immensely higher echelon situation this weekend in Stockholm. And as I was demanded of, I found myself saying, and do you really believe that? we're reminding ourselves. And I feel that the only reason why this is so is because this is this time that we're living is so acute. And we're living time. And the pulsations of time switch on and off and on and off and on and off, whereas our souls are living eternality. There is no switching on and off. So I feel that that's why, you know, we move from doubt into faith and faith into doubt, and we're constantly having to align with the possibility of what the continuum is all about. So just keep going. The interesting thing is that when we chant, we can't think. And so the chanting allows us to be sustainable within the sovereignty of the I Am.
And I use a crystal bowl once a month for a group meditation.
Yeah.
And that's a channeling, but I can look at the chanting with this. So Thank you. And I need both you and Ian to hear me when I say thank you from my heart center. Thank you so much for selecting my phone call.
And there's a lot more, which I can't well go into now because we're aware of the fact that you're being wonderfully appreciative. There are a number of other people who want to speak. But if you can, you know, there is an offering of a 60-minute soul reading. If you can come through, then we can share more.
Okay, thank you so much. And thank you, Ian.
Okay, sweet soul. Much love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. Okay, well, let's go to France. And it's a web caller from France, so... you put your name in. It might be Christine. If it's you, you're on live with Stuart. Can you hear us? Christine? Let's try that again. Christine, can you hear us? No, okay. Let's try someone else then. Let's go to Chesham, which I think is in the United Kingdom. Also, we're Paul. It looks like Sarah Jane.
Hello. Hello, I'm here.
Welcome.
Thank you. Wow. What a lovely surprise.
It's so, isn't this unusual? But I mean, Ian's in the northwest coast of the US.
Yes.
And you're in Chesham and I'm in London.
and dear Stuart, we have met many years ago. I came to your earlier workshops through the College of Psychic Studies.
Yes, darling, yes. Yes, yes. You know, it's, your vibration is so familiar, so I'm tuning into your field.
Thank you.
How can we help?
My question is, can you give me more information on how I use my voice in my healing work? I know I understand more when I see people, the reflection of my voice in their faces. Thing I understand more from them. I'm a bit nervous now. I'm so surprised I'm on the call. It's great. I want to know a little more about how I can expand the use of my voice with my healing work, in my healing work, please.
Okay. the immediate...
Oh, I'm going to...
Through the breath.
Let's try that. Okay, I had to mute you, Sarah Jane, because of the reverberation, so I'll let Stuart answer you, and then I'll unmute you when there's a break, okay?
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
So the immediate information is that through breath, meaning through pranayama, you will find a way of being able to, A, stretch the musculature of the resonance within your voice, and B, you'll feel your energy field expanding so that you feel yourself accommodating more gravity, more weight. That you'll feel yourself in your voice connecting more with the Gaia. You know, we always forget it, don't we, that we have this vast planet beneath us. And one of the, in fact, Ian's invited me to do a group meditation, so I will do this, of really opening up the pranic cord, of seeing how the beam of light that we receive through inspirational witness from the heavens can go all the way through us, through our spines, and deep the spine into Mother Earth, into the womb of the earth. We'll do this. And it's extraordinary, the impact of feeling how she is always there in what I call her unconditional love, holding us to the planet. But of course, it's what we call gravity. You know, her unconditional love is gravity that keeps us magnetically drawn. So it's that magnetism that will create a vast space within the internal cellular consciousness of your being. And as a result of that, intuitive guidance, you know, the oracular information of your soul will percolate through and give you direction about how you formulate prayer or chant or indeed toning with your clients. And the toning that I'm talking about is how you literally sculpt sound through chanting or through song, through toning, and feeling how the harmonics of your voice have an effect on the energy field of the person. Just as, for example, your crystal bowls have an effect on the energy field of the person, because you can see how they move from the, shall we say, the ecstasy of the pain that they're in into, because we can always feel ecstatic in the pain, even though it's agonizing, into something which is infinitely more subtle, infinitely more sublime, and infinitely more to do with the softness and the stillness of what it is to be enraptured by the divine feminine. That's the thing that sound does, because you see, sound arises out of the stillness into soundfulness, and then returns back to the stillness. And of course, as we all know that the divine doesn't live in the action. Divine lives in the stillness. Both the way that we perceive the divine male and the divine feminine. So how is Sarah Jane? How's your response to that?
Wow, that's very interesting. It's it first came up last summer that I might use my voice more consciously, and I've never considered it a singing voice, a voice that it sounds nice, but it's certainly coming up more and more that I need to be direct, need to go in that direction, need to explore. So that's interesting.
And that's why I say toning, darling, you see, rather than singing, because when we start talking about singing, we get caught up in the self-consciousness of, but I don't have a singing voice. You know, I would never, ever, ever suggest that I'm a singer, I'm a speaker. And as you know, because we've shared through the alchemy of voice, you know, that it's all about just chanting or toning. It's breathing in and making a sound and choosing that the sound is not, you know, it's just this clear beam of light. And you'll be very surprised. But, you know, there's something a little bit more extended to this. And without wanting to sound seductive, it's, you know, I would really suggest that we have a longer conversation. And I can explain it to you by just allowing you to feel the harmonics of, for example, now, that is not difficult to do. You can hear that I'm shifting the pitches in my mouth, so you can hear the harmonics, you can hear the overtones. And that is going to have an effect on your client's energy fields in the way that you see the crystal bowls. Because the crystal bowls, as we know, are echoing or reflecting or mirroring the silica crystals in their bodies, in their cells. That's why we're all now using crystal bowls. Is if you go back 25 years ago and you say, I'm going to use a crystal bowl, people will thought you were crazy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I bought my first two crystal tuning forks.
Beautiful. Yeah. Aren't they extraordinary?
Yes, very.
Thank you. Much love to you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Okay, well, let's go to the web as promised, and we'll just go to Cheryl in Hampton, New Hampshire. And of course, Stuart, these are, there's no interaction here. They're just typing in their questions. Appreciate your help to read and relay my soul's journey. Cheryl in Hampton, New Hampshire.
And sorry, the question was?
She'd appreciate your help to read and tell her soul's journey.
I can't tell her that.
Her soul.
She knows that.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Need a question. I mean, that's like saying, "Tell me the map of my life." I wouldn't have the audacity to do that. Now, there has to be a question. You see, there has to be the search. As I reveal my soul's destiny to me, has brought this up. And of course, what's interesting is that when we're in harmony, we don't have any questions because we're, you know, questionless. But as soon as there's a conflict or a challenge, then we ask questions. In other words, our soul directs us towards the karmic influence of challenge so that we can actually see where the tear is in our field, where the karma is within the cells of our being. And then we can heal it, and that's when I can be really useful. And the angels can come in. You know, it's like a lot of people say to me, oh, what do the angels think? Well, the angels don't think. They just feel. Feeling is the language of the soul. They love for the sake of love. So angels have no free will. They're just literally not bound, but they're suffused within the consciousness of wanting to really help us. So we need to ask them. When we ask them, then they do it. But if we just sit around waiting, it's like the universe saying, well, I've got eternity. I don't know how long you've got. How long do you want to create this? And of course, as we know, we're living longer lives. But anyway, so specific. So if this darling person in New Hampshire can say, I want this, then I can help.
All right. Are you able to have the angels provide any insight for people with questions? And if they have questions from the angels?
Sure. I've got the oracle sitting next to me. So if it's not, you know, I can use the oracle, or I can use, as you've heard me say, as Michael was talking to Sarah Jane, you know, for example, it's really significant.
Beautiful. Well, Laura from Oakland, California is asking if the angels have any insight or recommendations for her during this time of transformation. So she's undergoing a time of transformation. Is there any guidance from the angels that might assist her in her transformation?
Yes, that there is a quality of yearning as she moves through this transition, a yearning from her heart that is trying to remember an ideal of love that she hasn't experienced for a long time. And, you know, this is in many ways, this I feel this that's moving through me as I speak is a crystallization or an identification of this yearning that is arising from her heart. And this yearning needs to be defined. It's a high ideal of love. So another way of putting this is that there is, as she moves through this transition, there is a dream of creating a life that is infinitely more harmonious than the life that she's leaving. To define what the dream is and to determine what will she feel when the dream has been created. Because it's that pulsation, you know, she will literally beacon off into the universe what this feeling is. And as a result of that, the universe will reveal. So Safkiel is with you, if you can hear me, my darling. Safkiel, the angel of sacred love, is wanting to be with you to teach you about the amplification or the rarefaction of this yearning, this desire in your heart for union, for harmony, for a quality of loving that hitherto has been a challenge for you because you've seen so much enmity and conflict. You know, and this is a sort of, as I speak this, although it's in response to your question, I feel that there are a number of people in the community who are saying in their hearts, oh, yes, that could be me. And so here we are bringing ourselves into this morphogenetic field of this communion as we speak today, as we feel these feelings today, that let's just really resonate a unified manifestation of the fact that we can bring all of the dreams of paradise that we have into reality in the here and now. I know this because I see it with so many of the people that I work with. Now, you know, since my mother's death over 40 years ago, I've interfaced with female cancer, and many women come to me who have been told by their oncologists that they only have 3 months to live. And through the work that we do, they turn it around. So they go back to their oncologist, and the oncologist says, but there's no cancer in your body. What's happened? A miracle has taken place. But it's to do with the way that they've transformed the fear within their bodies that created the metastasized cells, and they've developed the dream kingdom. So the yearning will be outed. And it's, you know, the interesting thing is if you think about the word romance, romance means the ideal of love that we yearn for being met rather than, you know, cheap teen fiction about boy, you know, Jack marries Jill and all should be well. It's, you know, that's it on a very, very basic level. It's really about the communion of our hearts that we're yearning for.
Right. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you for that answer. And yes, of course, many of us in the community, you know, whenever you give the reading and the answer, it's for the group. So thank you so much for that. Stuart, I would love to have you take everyone through the offer. You know, speaking of your work and the work that you've been doing, I would love for you to do that and take everyone through the offer that you brought to the Wisdom community. Before you do that, though, I'd love to show everyone how they can follow along, because people do like to follow along visually. So let me just share that first. Everyone, if you're on the webinar page, then click the special offer button underneath Stuart's photograph. And that way you'll be taken to the offer page and you can follow along visually. If you're not on the webinar page, then you would type in wotashow.com. That's wotashow.com/Stuart, Stewart, and the number 7. Everything's lowercase. I'll say it one more time. wotashow.com/Stuart 7. Everything's lowercase. And you'll see a page that says Angelic Sound Healing Magic. So, Stuart, if you wouldn't mind, take us through the offers you have.
Now, you just have to forgive me, Ian, because I'm trying to find the I have it in an email here, and I'm trying to find the link.
Okay.
If you could go. Oh, is this it? No. Oh, shit.
It's okay. If you're at
wouldn't
at
mind
your computer.
Going in, and I'll follow you in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just trying to find the link so I can go online.
If you're on the computer, if you're online, then you would you could type in that address, I guess.
Yeah, I'm doing all sorts of different things.
Oh, no problem. Okay.
I'm out of my body. I'm with you. I'm with the angels.
Okay.
It's interesting. And the way that my brain works, I find technical details in this space difficult to deal with. Is that it? I think I may have found it. No. Okay. Sorry. Could you go into it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, everyone. So what you'll see is you'll see the package A. So there's three options here available for you. There's package A, package B, and package C. So if you are wanting to work with Stuart in private, that'll be we'll share that in just a little bit. But for now, let's go through the package. So the Angelic Sound Healing Magic. And what that is a package of MP3s that work with the angels. So each one evokes a different angel. So do you have something to share about that, Stuart, regarding...
I'm with it.
Yay.
I'm with you. Thank you so much for allowing space here. And you know, before I go in, I just, for all those wonderful people who are looking at this, I just want to say thank you to you and your team for creating such a beautiful display. I love it. So, these MP3s, as we can see if we flick through, are addressing the 12 angels of Atlantis. So, of course, we start off with Gabriel, the messenger, and Haniel, the sacred warrior. So within the recording is a way of evoking or invoking the angels. So it's, a corresponding documentary for me, just giving a bit of information about who this being of light is, of what their name means, why they are with us, what their archetypal value is, and how, for example, Haniel is the sacred warrior, can become part of our experience, for example, allowing us to develop bravery, determination, steadfastness, courage, and, of course, hope. And then we go on to Jophiel, and Jophiel is the angel of liberation, and we're all seeking liberation right now. So whether it's actually this fact that we're sending a prayer to Jophiel, this beautiful yellow citrine orb, for springing someone from a thought prison or from the prison of their consciousness on some level, that's exactly what is involved in these MP3s. So they're evocations of the specific angels. I won't go through all of them, otherwise, because there's a lot of other information to be shared.
Right.
So that the whole idea is that whichever package you will have access to this. But the whole idea is that we become acquainted with the angels, and automatically we do this. Automatically we name them into our lives. They become identifiably part of the vibration of the way that our soul functions, because our souls know these beings. As I was saying earlier, they've been around the time immemorial. And the interesting thing is that they were re-evoked within what we see as modern psychiatry or modern psychotherapy through the consciousness of a great Atlantean priest wizard who we call Carl Jung or Carl Jung. He gave us the archetypes. And then it goes in, you know, the package A has the introduction to the Angels of Atlantis, which I've already spoken about, so it's the first prologue in PDF form of the way that the angels gave me this extraordinary information about Atlantis. And, you know, it seems to me to be pretty unique, because I've tuned into other colleagues who have written about Atlantis, and the way that the angels tell the story of Atlantis, it's very, very different from a lot of the gloom and doom from many of the other corresponding agents of Atlantis that speak about it. And then there's a wonderful incantation CD or recording of the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic and the Gayatri Mantra. So this is package A, and of course it's coming to people. So as you can see, what? I allowed this to happen? that there's a huge discount to make it a viable for the wonder of, you know, your community and other communities that may be listening in. And then we go into package B, which has an advanced angelic sound healing process, where there are healing gifts through meditation and through these enchantments that I call prayers, that literally evoke the presence of the angel to bring about very, very powerful magic. There's also an MP3, which is about how to discover our unique soul note, this crowning code. It's a biological algorithm, you see, that we have within our bodies, as I was describing earlier. There's a video about opening the heart in relation to the angels' administration. There's also a video about angelic sound healing and about voice alchemy, meaning that when we determine what the holding point is within us, physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. I don't talk about blocks. I talk about holding points. I was told copiously as a young person that I was blocked, and all it does is make one feel as though whatever your experience is irremediable and it can't be healed. Whereas if we talk about holding points, we realize that, yeah, it's just energy held in my being, and it may feel contused, but we can all release it. And so it provides information about alchemy, you know, that we can move from guilt into innocence, we can move from blame into acceptance, we can move from excoriating doubt into complete faith. Belief, faith, and trust are the three concomitants of love. There's also a video about angelic voice alchemy and how to use the magnetic voice, about emotional intelligence. Oh, all sorts of such rich things. And then into the 12 healing prayers from the Angels of Atlantis. So this is packed full of immediate means to become in communion with the angels. Dare I say that the inspiration behind the recordings that I made came from the angels. So I can't move forward in life with any degree of integrity on the level of this soul vibration if the angels are not with me, because they've given me all of this information. And so it's not me doing it, it's them using my body as a vehicle. And that's for the princely sum of $127. So, wow, that's a lot of extraordinary things. Then we go to package C, which is all of that and a 60-minute soul reading. And so, you know, just tuning into the e-diary allows the dear one who wishes to acquire this way of being able to have not just a 2-minute reading or a 5-minute reading, but a 60-minute reading. And this means, of course, that not only can questions be asked in a very thorough way, but it means that we have more, because we're still living the element of time, we have time for the absorption, for the assimilation to take place, because each dear one that comes through will feel that the angels move through our conversation.
Beautiful.
And that's,
beautiful.
For wonderful. So, get everything for $347. Oh my God!
Right. To get the ability or the opportunity to work with you for a full hour, Stuart, that's very, very generous. I know that you are, as you mentioned, you've just come back from 3 days in Stockholm. You're traveling all over the world. So I and the Wisdom community appreciate and are in gratitude to you, Stuart, for making this available and opening up your calendar. I know it's very, very tough to get on your calendar. So I'm very, very appreciative. And I know the Wisdom community is as well. And they'll have the wonderful opportunity to actually get to work with you and have the angels of Atlantis as well come through in readings. So thank you so much from all of us.
Bless you. It was a solemn direction from the angels that I needed to be with the people. And it's very beautifully humbling to be with the people. No, I mean, obviously with people, but I mean, you know, really bringing the higher vibration into situations that are where it is really needed.
So real change, yeah. Real change on all levels. So everyone, again, there's package A, there's package B, and there's C. So whichever one you resonate with, I would certainly suggest that you feel into that. And again, having the opportunity to work with Stuart is really wonderful. Right, beautiful, beautiful. Well, Stuart, what I'd love now, if it works for you, now that we have a better sense, we've had a wonderful conversation, we've been through some readings, so people get a sense of what you do. There's also this ability to work with you in much, much deeper ways. It would be wonderful if you would take us through that guided meditation that you have prepared for us.
I'd love to. So I'm with you. I'm just feeling into the energies and seeing what the angels want. Okay, got it. So, Ian, how long do I have?
Oh, you have 5, 10, 15 minutes. Whatever's coming through. Yeah.
As I have to ask, you have 5 minutes. Okay. I'm just going to literally flow with the energy.
Please do.
These situations are very extraordinary because I feel the enormity of your community around us. And, of course, we're scattered all over the globe. So I'm just feeling the pulsing hearts and the rhythmic breath of everybody breathing into this morphogenetic field. Okay, so if everybody could feel that their bodies are really balanced, and by this I mean that they can feel the weight of their body. So if you're lying down or sitting in a couch, if you could perhaps access a harder chair, a dining room chair or kitchen chair or a desk chair, just for this, and feel or sitting cross-legged on the floor, just so that you feel the weight of the whole of your body going down through your pelvis into the chair or the floor and into the building. And then having completed this, of feeling the spine very aligned, so that we have both the earth and the heavens beginning to be balanced in our bodies. Just checking that the upper body is as free as possible, so there's no tension in round shouldering or bracing back too far, and that the neck is beautifully long, so the head is positioned on the length of the spine. And as you do this, if you need to bring the tip of your thumb and forefinger together either side, please do. It connects the sun and moon in our bodies. So the sun teaches us how to think, the moon teaches us how to feel. And then just imagine that there's a beautiful silver-white beam of light running all the way through your spine. See it as being quite broad in its radius. So maybe it's not just within the spine, it's also expanding either side of the spine. And see it, visualize it going all the way down through the base of your spine, through the chair or the floor, through the building. So you know the building, I don't. So go all the way through the floors into the basement, into the earth's crust, into the soil, into the clay, into the stone, into the rock, into the womb of Mother Earth. And notice how she comes to hold you immediately. So as you feel this, ask her for a gift. Ask her for a blessing. Ask her for a sign. Ask her for an image of a problem resolved, whatever it may be, for you, for your children, for your loved ones, for your colleagues, for the world. And whether anything comes or not, don't worry, because sensations will be evoked. Just slowly drawing that energy, siphoning that energy up through the rock, through the stone, through the clay, through the soil, through the earth's crust, through the basement of the building, and then back through the floors until it enters through the base of your spine, and then draw those images or that feeling into your heart's secret chamber. As the energy field continues, as the energy pranayama, you know, the laser beam, because this is your pranic cord, opens up through the upper body and then shoots off through the top of your head, through the building, through the atmosphere of the planet, and then seek out the planet that is closest to us, which is Venus, and anchor into Venus, the sister of love, the planet of love, planet Venus. So you're receiving pranayama down from the heavens and also from Mother Earth. Closing your eyes if you haven't already. Feel yourself being levitated from the chair and moving with the speed of light through the space that you are in into the natural world. And as you speed through the natural world, see how the landscape that you are familiar with begins to change and becomes, whatever time of day or night you are, lit with the light of the sun. And as you pass through the area that you know, you move through an energy barrier or an energy boundary into a pure white light. And as you journey through the pure white light, gradually the mists of this pure light begin to part. And notice that you are hovering, levitating over a garden of extraordinary beauty, where everywhere that you move, you see beautiful plants, beautiful trees, beautiful incense-bearing trees. So that not only do you see beauty of color and form and texture, you can also smell the scent, the perfume of these extraordinary flowers. This is a vast garden. So as you move through it, suddenly, as you experience all of these smells and sights, you hear that the creatures of this beautiful garden are calling you with a beautiful song that directs you towards a ribbon of light. And as you see this ribbon of light, you recognize that it is a river that is moving through the central area of this garden, feeding or nourishing all of the vegetation, all of the flora and fauna, into this paradisic state of absolute unity, harmony, grace, and splendor. Traveling along the ribbon of light that you see as the river, notice how the undines, the water spirits, come to greet you. It opens the dryads of the trees, the sylphs of the air, the naiads of the water. And as they direct you, and possibly you can hear their song, you notice that in the far distance, just ahead of you, at the head of the river or beside the river, is a golden dome. Go towards this golden dome. And as you travel along the river, this ribbon of light, and you move through the trees and the bushes and the flowers, you see that the golden dome is actually supported by 12 beautiful crystal pillars. This is the temple of the angels of Atlantis. Move into the temple, and in the center of the gold dais is a gold chair with a red velvet cushion. Sit upon it. This is the chair of your I Am presence. And as you sit upon the chair, you can hear that the crystal pillars begin to sound a beautiful melody in welcoming of you. They are mirroring the song of your soul. And as each tune, each melody, reaches a point of concert and harmonized melody, the light from each crystal pillar begins to beacon or throb. And there you see a beautiful blue pillar.
Hey everyone, this is Ian. Looks like Stuart might have just been disconnected. Maybe there were some technical issues with the phone there. So let's just stay in that place. It's wherever you are. Don't leave that place. Don't think about the disconnection. Don't think about anything. It's a beautiful opportunity to stay there in your heart. Don't think about when he's coming back. Stay in this place. Don't think about anything in your room. Just stay in this place, and we'll just wait. All right, everyone, we're going to get Stuart a little bit more time, so just stay there. Just trying to reach him. Well, how does it feel, everyone? How does it feel to not be distracted, to not think about, is Stuart coming back? How does it feel to be in your heart? I think this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to stay centered and stay grounded. Stuart took us to a beautiful, beautiful place. And we can stay there. We can revisit that place. We can be there by ourselves. It's in our reality. It's in our heart. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful gift. It's a really beautiful exercise as well. So what I'm going to do is, doesn't sound like Stuart might be coming back. I'm not sure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to thank you all, sweet souls, for being here, for being on this journey, for being on this call. And thank you, Stuart, for sharing with us your amazing wisdom and your time and your energy and your insights and sharing the angels of Atlantis. And thank you all, sweet souls, for being here. Really, really appreciate you being here. We thank Divine Mother. We thank Divine Father. We thank Mother Earth and Father Sun. We thank all the beautiful, divine, beloved beings of love, light, power, and service. Thank you, everyone. Much love to you all. Namaste. Bye now.